You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A radical theatre troupe which emerged out of New Zealand's counterculture in the early 1970s is the subject of Red Mole, a romance, a new film premiering at the 2023 Whānau Marama International Film Festival on the 4th and 5th of August at the ASB Waterfront Theatre. Annie Goldson is Professor of Communication at the University of Auckland and director, editor and producer of the film, and joins us now in the studio to talk about the film. Kia ora, Annie. How are you?
Kia ora. Thank you for having me. I've got a terrible cold, actually, but apart from that, I'm okay.
That's okay. That's usually Liam and I from our damp student flat, so please, we're not the ones this week. Hey, why don't you start off by telling us how you came across the story of Red Mole?
Well, full disclosure, I'm old enough to remember them, in fact, and I had been working as a radio journalist in Wellington, and I saw them and I decided I didn't want to be part of the civil service, really, the public service, wrongly or rightly. So I took off to New York with them in 1981 and ended up staying in New York for over a decade. Our paths diverged, but certainly I, you know, was close enough in proximity to really recognise the sort of energy and vivaciousness and courage that they had.
Yeah, and the courage that they had was really important for the history of New Zealand theatre. It really changed the entire landscape. Do you want to speak to that a little bit and what their role was in changing New Zealand theatre?
I mean, sure, it was the counterculture period, so there were also groups like Blurter who were quite radical too, but Red Mole was this interesting genre. It was a mix of poetry, of theatre, of mask, of physical theatre, always with great music. And so it was just a particular mix that was both sort of radical and joyful at the same time. So theatre at that point was very much, as someone says in the film, a group of middle-class people talking about things to each other, very much on the sort of kind of British line. So Red Mole was anything but that, and I think that they wowed a lot of young people in particular. I think that they raised the hackles, particularly of Prime Minister Robert Muldoon. But yeah, they were quite a phenomenon in that period. But they then did go to New York in sort of between 79 and 81, coming back and forth a bit. So the kind of heyday in the New Zealand context was really in Wellington, where Wellington liked them and they liked Wellington, and they had some very interesting shows that we look at in the film. Yeah,
you've made quite a few documentaries, Annie, and I'm interested to know when you decided that this was the story you wanted to tell and why it was the right time at the moment.
Well, I often say to my students, you know, ideas are kind of everywhere, but you have to recognise them as having their time. You know, there has to be an audience interested in watching the idea. It has to be realisable. Sometimes it has to get funding, although I didn't in terms of Red Mole, which is why I took on so many different tasks, because it was always going to be difficult to get, you know, funders to support it. So I suppose it's been something to do with my own history that I've been interested in exploring. I also notice an interesting thing amongst my students, and, you know, I have to take my hat off to a bunch of younger people who helped me on this film, and I'd like to name them in a bit, but I noticed how a lot of my students are interested in the counterculture in that period, because certainly the political contradictions that the counterculture tried to address, you know, sometimes imperfectly, but they tried to address, those contradictions have not gone away. You know, they were conscious of the environment, they were using kind of op shop cool, they were, you know, anti-capitalist in fact, not quite socialist, but it was very, you know, sometimes they fell short of issues around gender and race, but, you know, I think that they tried too in that context. So I feel that a lot of young people today have returned to those ideas, you know, after, I guess, what you could say, the sort of 90s and early 2000s, which were more money-orientated. So, yes, yeah, so I guess the time just kind of felt right.
Yeah, and if I think about films like Six Angry Women, for example, which uses similar archival footage of the university during those sort of times, you're definitely having a resurgence or regaining interest from people, particularly of our generation and slightly older. Who does the film follow as subjects? If people come to see the film, who can they see on screen?
Well, the surviving members of Red Mole, you know, core members of Red Mole, are interviewed. They form the primary interviews, really, although I do have also some sort of commentators that address, for example, the social political moment. But they all knew Red Mole too, so it's not like they're detached experts. So Deborah Hunt, who's actually just been interviewed by Kim Hill and will be appearing on Saturday's show, she Great. Now lives in Puerto Rico. She's a really important character. Martin Edmond, who was both a Red Moler but also wrote a history of Red Mole recently, so he's both a historian and a participant, if you like. John Davies, who was part of the original core group. Now, there have been a couple of deaths, which I won't elaborate on here, but there is the daughter of the founders, Ruby Brunton, is also a very important character. And, you know, she's in her 30s, so is a sort of generation younger, so she's an important character as well. So it's both a sort of social and cultural history, but it's also quite a poignant personal story.
Yes, absolutely. And the film traverses through quite a few different cities or locations, which you say are meaningful to the film's narrative. Do you want to speak to that a little bit, those different spaces?
Yes, well, I shot it in Mexico because that's where Ruby lives. So I shot it in Mexico and in New York, where Red Mole spent a lot of time, as did I. And then in various locations in Aotearoa, which was significant too. So I was actually filming in New York when when COVID struck, so I had to hot-foot it back here, so that was a fairly kind of rapid shoot. So you say with the significant locations, really Aotearoa and New York are significant to the Red Mole story. Ruby happened to be living in Mexico, which is a really cool place to film, and then she's a talented poet and writer herself, so, you know, I certainly incorporated some of those more poetic elements too.
And obviously you've decided that this is a timely and important story to tell, but went through, I'd say, unconventional avenues of funding or taking on all of these roles yourself and bringing in a bigger and younger team perhaps. Why did you decide to fund the film in that way?
Well, I am an experienced fundraiser. I'm quite an experienced producer in kind of the world of film and television, and I just thought it was going to be a hard pitch, you know, a long documentary on a sort of avant-garde experimental theatre troupe that not that many people remember. So I thought that was going to be a sort of difficult pitch. It might not seem to get the audiences, perhaps, that the funders would want. So I didn't want to spend a lot of time fundraising. I did, you know, I am supported by the University of Auckland, which is terrific because, you know, I have a job. But also I managed to get, you know, a reasonable research grant, which allowed me to travel. And then the younger people I've worked with, and I'd like to single out Harry Ashley, who's currently, I think, doing his 360 in France, Heather Wallace, who's a comms, media comms student, Ewan Collins, who's a fantastic composer. He's, I think, just graduated from the School of Music and has been a PTF there. My son, Ben Goldson, alumni of BFM, in fact.
Excellent.
So they all worked incredibly hard, and I was heartened by their interest, and I think I learnt quite a lot about what was important to them about Red Mole, which helped me sort of shape the edit, if you like. So, yes, I mean, I managed to pay them a little bit through kind of little bits and pieces of grants I managed to get from the university. But, you know, I really took on the major roles. Like, I probably spent 6 to 8 months editing it.
Wow. I would like to speak about that because there's a lot of archival footage and material that you've obviously waded through and selected out. What was that process like, and how did you come across those archives?
Oh, it was an amazing story, actually. You know, this film has very close ties to the University of Auckland because, you know, Alan was a sort of young Turk poet in the English department, and Sally, his partner, they were the founders of Red Mole. She was sort of in the arts student centre, arts scene. But they were extraordinary at retaining archives. Even though they never had very much money and they travelled a lot, they sort of kept everything. And they were, In one way, the film is almost a history of technology, because when they were performing first, it was everyone was shooting black and white stills. It was sort of pre-video. Sam Neill, in fact, directed a film on them that would have probably been 16mm or even 35mm for the National Film Unit. So there is some moving image footage, which was really valuable. Mm. But what happened is the Red Mole Archive was actually, through the efforts of Professor Michelle Leggett, was housed at the Special Collections here at the University Library. So this was a massive collection of photographs, scripts, posters, audio recordings, you know, ephemera, ticket stubs, yeah, all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So, and this is actually where Heather Wallace, my assistant, was incredible at sort of, and Harry Ashley too, at sorting through, kind of re-photographing things. So we probably pre-photographed about 4,000 photographs.
Wow.
And then we made the selection, and then we did high-res digitizations of those, which is sort of the process you follow. So, and then Ben Goldson did a lot of the international outreach, because there's a lot of kind of gritty footage of New York in the day, which was, you know, I was there, it was pretty rough.
Yeah, wow.
So, yeah.
And if people want to come and see this work, see the film, where can they go to do that?
Well, it's currently showing in all four centres at the International Film Festival. It's premiering in Wellington, which is appropriate, this Sunday, and then I think there's a Monday screening too. And then it's coming to Auckland, where it's showing on the 4th and 5th of August. And then the Christchurch and Aotearoa dates are after that, sort of mid-August. So they could look on the Film Festival website. And just after that, I'm not sure. You know, just relieved it got into the festival, and very grateful, because it will get an audience. And, you know, it's just not a super commercial television prospect. So I was very pleased. But
that was Annie Goldson, director, editor and producer of Red Mole, A Romance, speaking with me about the film, which premieres at Whānau Marama International Film Festival this August.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.